Good morning. We're going to call the June 2nd Health and Human Services and Education Committee meeting to order. Kelly, would you lead us in the pledge?
Love to.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have approval of minutes of the May 5th meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity for government to
Is your mic on?
Doesn't look like it.
No, it's funny. If my mic's on, but the light's not coming on today.
So I think you have to flip it over and push the button and sync for you guys because this morning some of the microphones are at the top.
Yeah, there's a button to slide to turn it on.
Push the button, like slide it.
Yes.
Slide it.
Yes. Mine's on. So the mic's working, but the light's not.
Working. So they're all live.
How much did we pay for these things? It's Wednesday. Maybe your mic's not on, John.
Every day is a learning adventure, right? Good morning. I appreciate this opportunity to present and have a student, more importantly, have a student present for youth in government. It has been a challenge for everyone for lots of different things, but in this case, a youth in government to try to transfer it completely virtual. We did bring the students in last week for the first time, this current group of students. But as time goes on, has gone on, we've lost a few students. We currently have three students, and one of them would love to present to you this morning as the committee. So, Ms. Ferratella, thank you very much for this opportunity. Hang on. I had everything with me, but not quite. So the student who will be speaking to you this morning is Mr. Brendan Frost. He is a senior at Corning Painted Post High School and a member of the National Honor Society and is planning to attend Syracuse University in the fall. If you're an Orange fan, you will count him among you. His plans are to major in political science and psychology, has an interest in forensic psychology as a career path or possibly law. So you can imagine the presentations that he particularly enjoyed from Mr. Sorrow, Ms. Prosek, and for Mr. Tunney last week. Also loved seeing Judge Watch's brand new courtroom last week. So he was excited about that. Has participated in his class government throughout high school, as well as the Youth Activation Committee. Also participated in Drama Club, all county and all state chorus throughout high school. He volunteers as a tutor, also participated in varsity soccer and varsity track in 9th and 10th grade, as well as the yearbook and the band as well. Just for fun, he juggles two part-time jobs during the summer. For our first presentation, he was really interested in Ms. Barodi's presentation, interested in joining seniors or students with seniors. As my daughter, when she was graduating high school, she said, class of 20, seniors, class of 21, the ones who graduated. So that's looking at both seniors. So I'm going to try really hard here to, Brendan should be on, and I'm going to share his,
looks like he's muted though.
Share his screen. Let me see. You can see it up on the screens there. Brendan, if you are on, you can go for it.
All right. I just want to thank you guys so much for having me. And my presentation is Seniors to Seniors. And that's like kind of like the resolution topic. So, Mr. Caudill, could you change the slide? Okay, so a little bit of background behind my resolution. In 11th grade history class, we were assigned a project that you had to interview your grandparent. You just could interview about them about whatever you wanted to talk about, but you just had to talk about them. You just had to ask them about their life for an hour. It had to be an hour long interview. And from this, I really gained like the significance was about gaining insight into someone's background, especially someone who's had so much experience as like senior citizens do. And also I have seen firsthand, as I have grandparents, the frustration with new technology that senior citizens tend to have when adapting to new technological advances in society. Next slide, please. So the aims of my resolution is to exchange the expertise of the younger generations with the older generations, younger being technological expertise and older generations just being expertise in life. Next slide, please. So my whereas statements consist of nationally, 40% of senior citizens feel loneliness. This could present serious health problems, as many conditions such as depression and anxiety could be caused by feelings of loneliness. So this is a serious issue that senior citizens face daily. Low technology literacy is statistically the largest barrier for seniors in terms of their technology. So according to University of California in San Diego study written by them or conducted by them, frustration or the lack of terminology with technology was a leading cause of disinterest in seniors contributing to like their involvement with technology. So if a senior citizens were less likely to take on new technological advances and adapt to them if they didn't necessarily know the lingo. Next slide, please. High school students interact, whereas high school students interact with technology in their everyday lives, I obviously have experienced this firsthand, and especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, schools are using technology more than ever. There's no classroom that I walk into that doesn't have technology, and it's pretty much safe to say that we're experts in using technology. I've heard that if you spend 1,000 hours doing something, you can be considered an expert. And it's safe to say that we've done at least half of that using technology just as students in a public high school. Next slide, please. And then there's potential for a program to connect high school students with the elderly. This is kind of where the idea Seniors to Seniors came from, which would partner high school seniors with senior citizens in order to build connections. Next slide. Now, therefore, be it resolved that
join the meeting.
Seniors to Seniors would connect high school seniors with local nursing homes through volunteering weekly. This would be advised through the Office of the Aging and school counselors in order to initiate connection and signups for the programs. It would be strictly a volunteer program, so therefore it would not need any budget. The schools could provide transportation. Yes. Next slide, please. High school seniors would be able to aid the elderly in technology. As I said, as a high school senior myself, we're pretty much experts in technology, and moving on to college, your involvement with technology only increases. One of the activities the seniors would be insisting the elderly in would be those interested in technology would be able to ask high school seniors questions about technology or get a little bit of assistance. Next slide. High school seniors would gain a better outlook on adulthood from people who are in the reflection stage of life as they're about to enter it. So seniors entering adulthood would gain guidance from their senior citizen counterpart. I know firsthand, I've heard countless times, welcome to adulthood, welcome to adulting, like it's time to be an adult. Like, so I think it would be really important for high school seniors to kind of get like firsthand experience and like get like a firsthand account of what life is and what to prioritize from someone who's experienced it. Next slide, please. And then finally, the Office of the Aging will work alongside Steuben County Schools, in which both groups would receive a certified copy. Copies would be sent to superintendents and the Office of the Aging in order to implement this policy, so everyone's on the same page. Next slide, please. I just want to say thank you again for having me. I'm sorry I'm virtually here instead of in person. It's really inconvenient, but our school is having a ton of senior activities, which obviously, as Mr. Caudill said, I am heavily involved in that. So I had to be here today rather than be in person. But I want to thank you guys for your time. And if you have any questions, my email was on the slide. So feel free to reach out.
Brennan, thank you so much. Are there any questions you'd like to ask Brennan? Thank you so much.
I hear a statement.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
My grandson out in Boston does this for a nursing home. Oh. And he spends 5 to 10 hours every week down there taking the older folks through technology things, helping them with emails, FaceTime, and stuff like that. And it's a great thing that him and other people are interested in doing something like that for the seniors.
Any other questions? Well, I would just like to say every year from when we have the student government program, we always get some wonderful ideas that we can incorporate into our program. So, Brennan, thank you so much and enjoy your senior year and congratulations and thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thanks, Brennan.
Okay.
And thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Bill.
That was awesome. It's a good idea.
A good idea. Kathy, good morning. Well, Kathy's coming up. I just wanted to mention, I hope everyone had a chance to see the foster parents video. It is phenomenal. I mean, we just need to thank the foster parents and the foster parents team. They do such a wonderful job of devoting time and talent and support to the children in our county. So thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Yeah, it was one of the few pleasures I get to do each year. And thank you for your support and allowing me to support them. So I appreciate that.
So maybe next year we'll do it in person.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Yeah. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
So I'm here this morning for just a couple of items. It's that time of year where we're going to put out our bids for the furnace repair and replacement for the heat program in the fall. And Andy, are you going to rescue me on this one?
The other item was the Deona mobility project for the fax server. In February, they did a resolution to transfer money into that account for the purchase of the fax.
You want to jump? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can go back to the.
Am I out of order? I'm sorry.
No, you just needed to. She was just requesting authorization to issue the bid for the heat.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Sorry, I missed that.
Nope. For the furnace
any
bids.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I think I hit. Yeah, go ahead with the mobility management.
Yeah, the second one, I was just here for the procurement piece for that. That is a fax server. It's available through Toshiba. I was able to find that on a national cooperative contract, which was authorized by our best value law. There's quite a bit of integration and programming involved in that system. So it pretty much has to be something compatible with our existing Toshiba system. So my recommendation would be to go with this quote. The price is $35,034.04.
This is tied to our mobility management program through Deona that we are finally getting off the ground. It'll allow for mobile scanning, faxing. It provides a level of security that will protect the information that the caseworkers will be sending back and forth. And this was transferred into a capital project. The funding was for in February of this year into a capital project. This was part of that.
So is there anything else that we have to do to get this off the ground? Is this the final step?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so, right, Lise? This is it?
Yeah.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move that.
Go ahead, Gary. Oh, wait a motion. I always think he's got a question. All right. Do we have a second? Sorry.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Cindy. I don't have this on my agenda, but I know many of you had questions about the ERAP program, which is the Emergency Rental Assistance Program that kicked off yesterday. And I brought some information to share with you. Do you want me to talk about it at all, or do you want me to just hand this out?
It's your call, whichever you want. You want to just give a small overview, or is that not possible?
Sure. This is the funding that we talked about. I think the last couple of months, but it's the emergency assistance funding that's going out for individuals who were in the arrears on their rent through COVID. So March of last year forward. And this is a program that the state is going to manage. They're going to administer the program. And we accepted funding last month and entered into contracts with Catholic Charities and ProAction to do the, they'll be assisting clients and landlords in the application process, but it's also kind of a media campaign at the same time. So the information is coming out fast and furious. We still don't have all the questions answered. The state's still working through some of the bugs of this program, but my understanding at this point is they've got certain categories that will be a priority category for the first 30 days. And that's spelled out in the information I'm going to hand out to you. So it's based on AMI. And I also have our AMI sheet to hand out, so y'all know what that is. But it's based on average median income. Individuals can apply. Landlords have to buy into it. They have to sign on with it. And then they will pay back the arrears from March 20th forward. There's some contingencies if the landlord agrees to do this. They can't evict the client going forward based on those arrears. If there are other issues that the clients present to the landlord and there's an eviction needed, there is still a process that they can go forward with, but they just can't base the eviction on the back rent that was not paid. Trying to think what else. The money will be going, I know this was a question, the money will be going directly to the landlords. If the landlords choose not to enter into an agreement, but the clients have applied for the benefit and are approved for the benefit, that landlord, again, cannot evict that client based on that previous rent due because they have applied for this funding, they've been approved, and it's available to the landlord to retain their housing. So I think those were some of the major questions y'all had when we talked about it last month.
So you'll have additional information in the handouts.
There's YouTube video. There's a link to the OTDA website for this funding, specifically for this funding. Mary's going to post it on Facebook as well. There's actually a specific landlord portal that you can go to if you're a landlord. And so far, it's fairly comprehensive. There's still, I think, a lot of unanswered questions. But we're getting information as recently as this morning. There's a landlord questionnaire that I have here to hand out as well. So,
Kathy, what's the downside on a landlord not accepting and not buying into this?
I don't know that there's really a downside other than the tenant might be a problem tenant that they might want to just say, you know, let's just move on and get that person out and evict them. But that doesn't preclude them from evicting individuals for other reasons. So I really don't see a downside.
What happens if the tenant is too lazy to apply for the money?
So the landlord can call in and get assistance with that. And if the client chooses not to apply for it, then you can go forward with an eviction once the moratorium is over, which is still active. I think it's till September.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a
little. Would you tell me that again? If the tenant does not apply for the back rent, what goes on?
You cannot evict them until the moratorium is lifted. So there's a moratorium on anyone who has not paid their rent. There are other mechanisms you can evict a client for non-pay other than non-payment. But if it's just simply because of non-payment during the COVID moratorium, you cannot, you still can't evict.
Thank you.
For those reasons.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Kathy?
So Kathy, would your office be able to help these tenants if they don't know how to apply or?
We sure can, and we've also entered into the contract with ProAction and Catholic Charities, who will have case managers available to assist both clients and landlords. So you certainly can call my office if you need some assistance connecting. And those will be, those numbers will also be published on Facebook on our webpage.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. I'll just hand these out and get out of the way here.
While she's doing that, Patty Barodi's next, but I wanted to just bring to your attention regarding our goal of having public relations publish every 2 months for focusing on the highlights of the departments that report to our committee. The article that was just published is focusing on activities in the Office of the Aging with a special focus on the Easy Rider program. And they transport clients to shopping and other areas, I believe. But I want to thank Patty Brody and her group and Mary Parham for publishing that and helping us meet our goal. Thank you.
And I want to thank the commissioner, too, for years ago having the vision to know that a van that was sitting in the parking lot not being used could be utilized for addressing the needs of seniors. And it's been really a good partnership just because it addresses not only getting necessary essential items into a senior's home, but it gets the senior, if they're physically able, to go out and socialize a little bit and get to a couple stores. So it's been a beautiful thing. And it's just been growing over the years. So, yeah, it's a great partnership.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you. Okay, I have several items for you this morning. We recently got two allocations of money to address COVID vaccine activities. And in working with public health and administration, the unmet needs seem to be how do we address the needs of the homebound elderly to get those vaccines? So the first allocation is the ADRC No Wrong Door COVID-19 Vaccine Access Funds. So ADRC is Aging and Disabilities Resource Center. So that's the program in Office for the Aging that serves people of all ages. So think about disabled people who are under 60. So that's $11,804 that we want to accept. And we'd like to enter into contract with Arnett Health, who is already doing homebound vaccines. So we want to have a contract for $20,000 with Arnett Health going back to April 1st when this funding was first available. So $14,549 will be of the second, the VAC-5 funds. So we're going to take a little bit for the under 60 population, a little bit for the older over 60 population to enter into a contract for $20,000. The second, the VAC funds is $14,549, and that full allocation will go to Arnett Health. And we'd like to reserve $6,353 aside for a to-be-determined contract. We'd like a second provider to be able to do in-home vaccines to make sure we have the capacity going forward. I'm in conversations with home care agencies to see who is able to take on that added duty. So I'll probably be coming back here once that entity is identified. So I just need approval to accept those two allocations of vaccine funding.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All questions?
No. So acceptance of those two funding streams, I think you could do as one, and then separate authorizing contract with Arnett. Darlene and I and Patty have had a lot of discussions. Darlene's been in close contact with Arnett. We've brainstormed a million different ways to vaccinate the homebound, you know, whether it's contract staff directly through Darlene's office or what, but our relationship with Arnett, we've utilized them and we've been forwarding names. Darlene has been forwarding names to Patty to them of homebound individuals who want the vaccine. So they're already doing this and they have capacity to be able to expand that. So it seems like the quickest way to get it done.
So in order to spend that, Arnett told us that to send an RN, it'd be $30 an hour. And for cost efficiency, a second person has to go too. So they're going to send an administrative person at $15 an hour, plus the 56 cents a mile, this federal rate for mileage. So, you know, once the money's gone, it's gone, but at least we have a tangible fee for this activity.
Okay, so the first motion is for one and two for the COVID vaccine funds. We already have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Hilda?
So how are you going to identify these people that are...
That's a great question. The ADRC funds has to go through New York Connects. It has to touch the New York Connects program, which is information and referral. So people spontaneously call Office for the Aging when they're in need of a vaccine for a homebound individual. But wherever the referral originates, it will pass through New York Connects. So if somebody calls Arnett Health and wonders how they can get a vaccine, they'll refer back to us. Individual providers, whether there are Arnett providers or Guthrie providers, they'll all be able to access from multiple points.
So there are some food pantries in the county that do delivery. So it would probably be good to contact all the food pantries. And we have a list, I think, on our website.
Yeah, we do.
To see, because I know there are some that do deliveries to homes.
Right.
Yeah, that's one group that we haven't reached out to, but Patty and Darlene have been working to contact. So obviously we have a number of home care providers that provide services in the home. None of them to this point have applied to be vaccinators. I sent you emails on this before that they have to go through a process to be authorized to provide the COVID vaccine. And none of them have done that thus far, but Patty has reached out to them and Darlene and I have had conversations too to try to get their lists, essentially, you know, which clients of yours want vaccinations. If you're not going to be able to do it, let us know and we'll do it. So.
There are a lot of people, several, I'm sure, that don't participate in any of these lists so that they're home, but they don't do it, you know, they're not connected to anybody.
Right. It's a challenge to reach people who are not connected to a public program. But I think New York Connects is a great portal of access because people call us about anything, you know, related to healthcare or in-home services.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the funds. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Great.
Now we need a motion to contract with Arnett.
Also move.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. The next thing is to increase the Steuben Senior Services Fund contract. You recall we got special permission from the State Office for the Aging to address the needs of people who are on our waiting list, waiting for home care. And so this is the pilot program. We're going to fund up to 5 clients to go on the Full Circle America program to receive in-home supports while they're waiting to get on traditional ISIP services. So that's $12,000.
Do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Hilda?
So the Full Circle America is not a pilot program, but you're
right.
Saying this.
Right. So the pilot part of it is we're asking the question, how could we keep people from going into a nursing home while they're waiting on the waiting list, waiting for home care? So we put in cameras and those extra social supports that they get through the Full Circle America program, the volunteer engagement, the connection with technology, like our student said, you know, people who are socially isolated, when they have an Echo show, they can connect with family and friends and providers to address all their needs in the home.
So this is a temporary.
They're giving us 1 year to pilot test it. And the side benefit is that it allows us to utilize some of those ISIP funds that we were having so much trouble spending because of workforce. So it's approaching the problem from several different angles.
Patty, I believe you currently have 26 Join people under.
About right. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Great. Next thing is to increase the ProAction employment contract. We have a caseworker that's out on extended medical leave, and it's getting difficult to meet the requirements of the assessments and reassessments. We have a part-time worker that is willing to pick up some extra hours to help with the caseworker duties. So we need to increase that contract by $3,546 for a temporary reassignment.
We have a motion.
Second.
Any questions for Patty? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the last item, we put out a bid for legal services. You may recall Joint and Von Hagen are closing their law offices. And so we're transitioning to a new entity. We put the bid out and we only got one applicant. I'm recommending that we award it to Law New York right here in Bath. They do a multitude of legal services, and the benefit, aside from being a local entity, is that they have many different grants that they work under. So if we make a referral to their program, they'll charge it to the most appropriate funding stream. So not necessarily will we pay for every single referral that we make to their office. And we've been working with them about what is an appropriate referral. And I think in addition to the Center for Elder Law and Justice that's out of Buffalo, it'll be really helpful to have somebody right here in our own community to take referrals.
Second.
Any questions? Do you have a, Kathy or Patty, do you have a cap on the amount that you can spend under this program?
Yeah, our total legal services is $20,000 a year. So we split it between the two legal agencies. And usually if we run out of money by the fall, those agencies have pro bono attorneys that will help in some cases. So we are able to deliver the services throughout the whole year, but $20,000 is what we allocate for legal services.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patty. Darlene, on with us. Good morning.
In person.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to see each of you in person. It's been so long. You know, so I just want to say thank you. You know, after 372 days, and yes, we counted them, of being out at Emergency Operations Center, to just be back in life almost, you know, and just seeing friendly and most of all familiar faces. When Jennifer was walking over with us this morning and she made a good analogy, I thought that I wonder if this is what it feels like to be deployed for a year. You don't see any familiar faces and then all of a sudden you come home and you do. And it's just a really good feeling. So it's great to be back. And thank you for the very tangible support that you offered me and the department over the past year. you know, there were some really, really dark days, but knowing that you were right there with us, it was really very much appreciated. And I can tell you that several of my counterparts did not enjoy that luxury. They didn't, their emergency operation centers were never activated. They didn't have legislators checking on them and offering support, and not even to mention their county manager or county exec. So they, you know, it was rough for them. So it made it a little bit easier to get through the 372 days. So thank you. Thank you very much.
You did amazing job.
Well, thank you. My team has just been great. They, you know, they rallied and, you know, never complained about the long hours and the weekends and the holidays worked. I just can't really say enough about them and the, you know, the work that they did. And then, but before I go any further than the agenda to just kind of cap that off, I'm very relieved and happy to introduce to you this morning my new deputy director, Crystal Jubilee. The county is very fortunate to have her. She comes to us from Corning Community College. She was the director of the nursing program at Corning Community College, was tapped for a short project at Corning Inc., and then came to us from there. So she comes with a wealth of nursing experience, education experience, and management experience. So it's just, you know, she's that candidate that everyone hopes for, and all wrapped into one. So I'm very happy to have her join the county and more so to join public health. So moving on with the agenda. The first one on the agenda is contracts. I'm seeking your approval to enter into contract with Rehabilitation Today for some OT services. Also with two different speech language pathologists, Casey Johnson and Gretchen Smith. Casey is in Canisius and Gretchen is in Corning. Same rates as always.
Kathy, we're going to go ahead and do all three together. If you want, do you want to talk about the other ones as well? Or
the biometric?
No.
Okay. I think she's...
You're all done with those. I'm sorry. So we need a motion.
I'll move those contracts.
Second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And then we'd like to continue our contract to use Biometric Screening Reporting Company of Workplace Vitality. That's who we were with last year also. And this is for the biometric screening that we do annually every year for county employees. And the total estimated cost is going to be $3,200 for their services this year.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And just to clarify, public health nurses will still do the screening, but we need an outside vendor for the reporting. You know, they gather the reports for us that you see from us when it's over with, as well as process the when an employee chooses to go to their own physician for their screening. They process those for us. And then also we'd like to award the preschool transportation bid to ARC of Livingston, Wyoming. They were the only bidder. As you can see, there was no bid for the Yates ARC Cuca Lake School. Previously, Durham had covered that for us, but they didn't turn in a bid this year. So any of the students who will go to Cuca Lake School, one of two things will have to happen. Either their home district will have to use their own transportation to transport the child there, or the parent can elect to transport their child themselves, and then they will be reimbursed mileage.
Do we have a motion?
I make the motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much. And then lastly, I've just supplied for you it's a COVID vaccination rate sheet that's say Rural Health Network has developed for each of the member counties that wanted it. I thought you might enjoy having this each month. I will update it for you each month with the latest vaccination rates and as far as where in the county we are behind as far as take rates. And as you can see from the color coding, it's those lighter areas within the county, which is our southern border, our New York PA border. That's where vaccination rates are lagging the most, mostly in the Greenwood, Cameron Mills, Woodhull, Canona area. So we have attempted to try to set up some clinics in that general area. The closest we've gotten so far is at the Jasper Troopsburg School. We've been out there a few times with a clinic, and also we're at the Addison High School tomorrow night. Fortunately, one of the main providers in that area in Woodhull is McDonald Health Center, Diane Reed, and she's been a great partner from as soon as the vaccine became available. I have redistributed vaccine to her almost every week, and she has a very large following of rural residents in that general area of Woodhull, Cameron. So she's done a lot of vaccines. You know, unfortunately, for whatever reason, a lot of the providers in the area are not signing on to you have to, as Patty alluded to a little bit earlier, you have to, any doctor can't just administer the COVID vaccine. They have to go through a vaccine enrollment application. It's not it's paperwork, but we all do paperwork. And they just, I don't know, they're just not moving forward with it. I think in the beginning, they were very scared off by the use it or lose it mandate, as well as, and if you don't use it, you're going to get fined. And that, I believe, has anecdotally, I've heard from some of them, that has kind of scared a lot of them off. So I'm just hoping, you know, now that we haven't heard those words at all in some time, that they'll be a little more amenable to taking that step, because I can easily redistribute vaccine to any provider that wants it. And I think the ones that are the unvaccinated folks that are left, if there is, if they have questions or hesitancy, I just think their most trusted resource for those kinds of questions is their provider. So I think that's where probably one of the biggest inroads could be is with our providers. So we're still working with them, and I still communicate with them and try to encourage them, but very few in the county have signed on.
Well, the governor's latest thing that he came down with, that if a person gets the vaccine and is experiencing some side effects the following day can to have a sick day, mm-hmm. paid sick day. Do you anticipate that being helpful?
Yeah, I think it might, because I do think that there's a lot of, hourly workers, you know, line staff that don't have, they feel like, oh, I can't be home. I've got to work. I've got to get paid. And to have that additional accommodation so they can be certain to get a full paycheck rather than a partial paycheck at the end of the pay period, I think that would sway a number of people.
Hopefully a lot.
Yeah, hopefully a lot. You're right. We have seen greater interest so far once the 12 to 15 age group became eligible. We've seen there was definitely more interest from parents in getting that age group vaccinated than we initially saw when the 16 and 17 year olds became eligible. Not sure the reason, but I'll take it. But the clinics that we've specifically focused on that age group, once they became eligible with mm-hmm. Pfizer, we've been busier than we were with the 16 and 17 year olds.
I just like to say that the JT clinic went very well, and there were a fairly large number of the younger people getting vaccinated there. They were there with their parents, mm-hmm. and even though I know you ran out of the Pfizer because
There were more people there than you anticipated. But those people that hadn't gotten it yet, they waited patiently until they could get there with the additional vaccines. It's just very well run.
Thank you. I know which clinic you're referring to. You're absolutely right. We ran out of vaccine, and they were very gracious in waiting, because we literally ran, Kenny Friends ran all the way back out here to get more vaccine and then all the way back. And so I think they had about an hour wait, but they were very gracious. You know, that's the downside to offering walk-in appointments. But we found, a while ago that we have better luck if we do both. We almost always offer a pre-registration link. But once we started, once our clinics became smaller, we couldn't really do walk-ins when we were doing, 500 and 600 doses at a clinic. But once the interest level waned and we started running, much, much smaller clinics, like less than 100, we made it available for walk-ins. And that really does seem to have made a difference, that and offering more than one vaccine at a clinic. That way, people, even if they're still undecided when they get there, they have a choice of which they would like.
Yeah, so there was one individual, I won't go into detail, that the parent needed some explanation on because their medical condition, and they were able to get that information and get them the shot that was best applicable to them.
Nice.
So it was a huge, we had over, I think, around 140 at that clinic.
You're right. That is how many we ended up with. And we weren't, obviously, we weren't expecting that, or we would have come with more vaccine.
A huge success.
Yes. I feel very fortunate for that. So, we'll see. Like I said, tomorrow night we're at Addison High School. And we do have some pre-registrations, but we're going to allow walk-ins, and I'd love to see that kind of response at Addison, because again, they're on the border of the area where it's the lowest vaccination rates in the county. So, yes.
Have you been able to break into the Amish community at all, or are they staying right away from it?
We have not been able to break into that at all. It's tough. We have a volunteer, and she's been just a phenomenal volunteer. I think she's been at every single clinic of ours, who is somewhat connected, knows some within the Amish community. She lives near them, and she was going to try to, see if she could make an inroad with them, but no luck yet.
I was hoping Diane Reed might be able to break into them, because she does a lot of their medical.
Now, I will say I can't say whether maybe she has, to your point, because she does see a lot of Amish patients, and she could have very well vaccinated some of them. But she stays in pretty good touch with me. She hasn't mentioned it, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I'd love for it to.
She's probably your best chance to break into that community.
I would agree with you. Yes.
Any other questions?
Great job.
Thank you for
thank you very much.
Say Rural Health Network information. We appreciate that.
I will. Thank you. Thanks. Would you like to continue to receive this each month?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks.
We don't skip Hank on the agenda.
Oh, sorry. Dr. Chapman, I missed you.
Not a problem. I've got several items here for the group, but I'll run through them as quick as I can. We'll start with electronic medical record. Several months ago, we put out an RFP for a new electronic medical record. In response to the RFP, we got 8 proposals. Initial price quotes ranged anywhere from $93,768 to as high as $1,107. So a pretty big range. I recommend that we accept a company by the name of NetSmart's proposal. The initial purchase price of the software is $228,737.51, with an ongoing annual maintenance fee of $108,407.51.
All this is budget.
We have $350,000 in the capital project line to make the initial purchase.
So we have, to Hank's point, we have enough to very well cover the initial purchase installation cost. The ongoing maintenance is roughly double our previous or our current records and case management software. So during your budget process, we'd have to increase that line item because that's budgeted in there. So we're all good for the installation the first year, but as we get into budget, that line item is going to increase. But it looks like any software that they looked at, we were going to have to do that anyhow. We not that this the current hasn't been functional, but it's been lacking. And speaking with Hank, there are a number of other counties in New York State that utilize the company that he's proposing, which obviously, like we're doing with ERP, that gives us a little more confidence that, you know, they know New York, they know how mental health services and substance abuse services work and what's expected. So,
yeah, the company, like Jack said, just to spring off of that, the company has roughly 100 New York State customers. Not all of them are county-based, but the counties have service contracts with the providers that use the software.
My question is, in the maintenance part of it, does it includes updating the security every year?
Yes.
Because that's a big thing anymore, the security.
Absolutely.
It's a cloud-based system, like most are going to, so you know they'll be updating it constantly, and then we just access via the cloud, which again is, in my opinion, as we're looking, we had that discussion with the ERP, you know, COVID experience showed us a lot, and you know, if, especially with people working remote, they can more easily function to access you know, records and to be able to do their case notes and their actual visits with clients instead of, you know, a hosted system that we have to a local system that we have to constantly monitor and upgrade and do all the security patches and all that. So
yeah, I just don't want us to get into a deal where we have to pay a ransom to get our stuff back.
Yeah, we have a lot of discussions about that. I mean, we want to avoid that as desperately as possible too. But yeah, this one seems like a
little okay.
Any other questions? Okay, we have a motion. I need a second.
I'll second it.
Oh, I thought it was me, Bob. Okay, well, we need a motion as well.
Oh, whatever.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And then with that, I would need your approval to enter into a 5-year contract with the company. Not to exceed $662,237.55.
I'll second it.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I do have some contract items, other contract items as well. CASA Trinity's proposal to become a regional certified community behavioral health clinic was approved and will receive $3.8 million in federal grant funding. We were included in the proposal to provide 24/7 crisis outreach services, and we will be paid $83,355 over a 12-month period to provide those services. So I'm looking to get your approval to enter into a contract with CASA Trinity that would start this month, June 15th, and run through June 15th of next year, 2022.
I'll move that.
Any questions?
So how long is that contract for with the CASA? How long is their contract where they're getting all that money?
That is spread out over if I remember correctly, over a 2-year period.
So now this is the funding that they've been needing and good. So they're pretty stable now.
Correct. And they took a regional approach with this. So it's for Livingston, Steuben, and Chemung County. And they're the lead agency. Part of the requirements to become a lead agency is you have to be able to provide inpatient as well as outpatient substance abuse treatment services, offer 24/7 access to medication-assisted treatment for opioid dependence. And then where providers such as us come in, we're part of the provider network. So, you know, we provide the other mental health crisis-based services, as well as our outpatient mental health services, substance abuse. But collectively, the thought is from the states and the federal government's end, is it's more of a collaborative, collective, approach to providing the services across the region.
Do they have the capacity, now that they've moved and things have changed, do they have the capacity to do that as a regional service?
Yes, and I can't help but think that this funding will help strengthen, literally strengthen what they do. They have the infrastructure in a lot of ways to provide services to more than one county, but this money will allow them to hire additional staff and such to provide, the needed services in other areas.
Do we have a motion?
I think you had it.
You just did that, right?
Yeah.
I haven't spoke to Scott Van Etten or Jack. Favor? Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I hadn't spoke to Scott Van Etten or Jack recently about this, but would recommend that we invite Ann Domingos to come into perhaps one of the chairman's meeting to give us an update on services, here locally as well as, regionally.
Because last time she came, she was asking for money.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There was another RFP we partnered with Casa Trinity on a few months back. This was in response to an RFP that was put out by New York State and local drug treatment court. Proposal was accepted. My department will provide case management and substance abuse assessments and MAT for individuals that are going through the drug treatment court. CASA will provide peer supports and MAT as well. CASA is considered the lead agency in this proposal, so I'm looking to get your permission to contract again with CASA. This starting point would be July 1st of this year, but it's actually multiple years. So it'd be July 1st of this year. It'll run through September 30th of 2023. We'll receive a total of $146,451 for the services that we'll provide during that time frame.
I'll move that.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So this is something, in my opinion, that's been needed for many, many years, but it'll provide us an opportunity to work more closely with the individuals that are going through drug treatment court, to actually have daily contact if needed, to make sure that they follow through with treatment services and are linked up to any other supports that they need.
Awesome. Nice.
Pathways contract. We have, as you might recall, a current contract, service contract with Pathways. I'm looking to get your permission to add $80,500 to the current contract so they can hire a mental health counselor that'll work part of the 24/7 crisis outreach program that I just mentioned to you, as well as a substance abuse counselor to provide case management services to the local drug treatment court. I have the money in the budget, as I just mentioned to you, with the funding that Casa Trinity received to cover the cost.
I'll move.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So can I ask Hank a question? So Hank, with all this wonderful news, the funding and everything, do we have the capacity? Do you and your office have the capacity to do all this?
Well, that's a good question, Hilda. We do, but only with adding people to our program. So that's why I wanted to reach out to Pathways through our current service contract to have them hire a couple additional staff people that they can have work over at our office with staff to provide the service. Without that, no. To answer your question, no. We wouldn't have enough bodies. You may ask or be thinking, what happens when the funding goes away? The good thing is these services are billable. They're reimbursable by insurances, so we'll be able to sustain ourselves, you know, beyond the grant project years.
Does Medicaid or Medicaid pay part of that?
Yes, actually, Medicaid's still our largest payer, and they reimburse for these types of services, yes.
Okay. Do they still put up all the barriers that they used to put up to make it hard to turn in and get our money? I remember one time we were way behind and having a problem. Maybe when Dr. Anderson was here, it was like a shell game they were playing, making it tough to get our money.
With the insurance companies, there's whether it's Medicaid or any of the others, there's always a challenge. You know, they're always trying to find a reason or reasons to deny the payment, but to the credit of my business office, they do a pretty good job following up with the companies and getting the information that they need to approve the payments.
Good.
So, any other questions?
What I just heard recently about something called Safe Steuben. Is this part of Safe Steuben, this effort? Have you heard of
Safe Steuben? Not that I'm aware of, and at the moment I'm drawn blank on Safe Steuben.
Okay.
But I know it's not part of this. Do you remember any more of the particulars of it?
Well, it's a new effort apparently between the sheriff's office and ProAction, and I think it's just starting, but I'm hoping that you're obviously going to be involved in it. But I had just heard the term Safe Steuben the other day, and I'm like, what the heck is that? So I'll find out more information.
If you'd be good enough, when you locate that, if you could forward it to me, that'd be helpful. I'm not familiar with that right off the top of my head, no. And my last items, please don't throw things at me because it is only June, but it's time to renew our snowplow contract. Got two of those contracts, and it's important to note that these not only cover snow plowing for my department, but also buildings and grounds. So first one is Cars Trucking and Snow Removal. They plow our Corning office lot, also the Spend County Courthouse. I believe it's on 10 East 1st Street in Corning. So similar, the terms are the same as they were in the past. I'm looking to renew the contract at $75 per plow.
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And the other contract is with TP's Concrete and Contracting, otherwise known as Dave Parks. They plow our Hornell office. They also do the Hornell Courthouse. So looking to renew that contract at the same rate as last year, be $75 per plow.
I'll move. Yeah.
Any questions?
I got it.
Yeah. We don't own the Hornell Courthouse anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That should be removed.
About a year or more, 2 years.
We got rid of it a couple years ago.
That's true,
yeah.
So would there be any... I'm sorry, Eric didn't mention that to me. Would there be any other areas that would still be owned by the county that
DMV.
Would be?
You got the DMV up, above, what, by the bowling alley, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. In the wrong parking lot. I'm pointing in that direction instead.
But is that where
you're, that we're doing it for them.
But is that where your clinics are up there, Hank?
Well, our clinic is on Seneca Road North, but is DMV in with the same lot of where the courthouse used to be?
No.
No,
it's up by the bowling alley.
The court
closer to the highway. Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk to Eric. I don't believe that they would be plowing. No,
they sold it to Rob.
That's right. They gave.
I think the names haven't been changed.
Yeah, we just need to make sure in the contract that's specified.
Barbershop guy. Yeah.
So should I table that one till I get more information? Bring
I don't
it back.
Think so. You can change it.
Change?
wine and eating store in there. I know.
Oh, you have your test all the time. I mean, your appointment.
You're going to have a boxing ring in there.
Where am I? Oh.
Do I have need a little more information on that one, Hank.
Yes, I apologize for that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second with the pending corrections. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, Nate. Good morning, Nate.
Buddy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? All right. I'll apologize in advance for my gravelly voice. I've been a little under the weather with some sinus issues, so bear with me. I have two items for you today. The first is a reclassification in Office for the Aging of an encumbered aging services aide position to a social welfare examiner position. Patty asked us to take a look at the duties, which we did, and the social welfare examiner title fits what this individual does much better. And certainly Patty can elaborate if she'd like.
I don't know that I really have more to add, except that we've had this position and it's really evolved over the years, and its benefits access. And as you can imagine, health insurance and public benefits has really gotten complicated. And when you read what an aging services aide does, it's really very an oversimplification of what the job is. So we, when we did the desk audit, we really found that it really did align with the social welfare examiner. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Difference in pay?
It's about $6,000, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the difference in range.
In range.
Do you know what the actual difference in pay will be?
38 to 43.
I did have that in my office. Since I didn't get in there today, I don't actually have that.
It's about $6,000.
Yes.
Patty's about right with the six. It was in the neighborhood of 6,000 for the actual employee.
Right. And we did put it in our budget because we anticipated that this could happen.
I'll move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Okay. And next, we're going to public health. And what we're asking to do is to fund and reclassify a zero-based account clerk typist position and reclassify it to a senior typist position. And the reason for this is we currently have a senior clerk in that office who is going to be retiring. And senior clerk is one of those titles that is not used very much anymore. It's actually filled from the senior typist list. Senior typist tends to be much more appropriate for the duties of those positions nowadays. So we've made quite a push over the last 15 years or so to anytime one of those positions is coming vacant to reclassify it, usually to senior typist, unless the duties have changed greatly. But what we'd like to do here is to reclassify this one to a senior typist and fill it. And upon the senior clerk's retirement, zero fund, zero base the senior clerk position to allow for a little bit of a training period prior to the current individual leaving. And certainly, Darlene, you can jump in if you need to.
I'll move it.
I don't think I have anything else to add. Nate described it pretty well. That would position us very well if we can. I have a potential candidate who might be interested.
Is in the budget, right? Do they?
We'll be able to carry it. So yeah, it's the same amount of money. You have that
right.
Period of overlap, but you know, we have staff retiring, so we budgeted for a full year for them. So we have enough flex.
I didn't know. I guess I didn't know. Understand the fund and reclass.
Yeah. So technically, the funding doesn't have to happen if there's enough overall funding in that salary line. Nate and I can take care of it. So it's really just the reclass.
Gotcha. Okay.
If it was running short, then we'd have to come to you and say we need to transfer money, but we're not there.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions?
At least this one don't cost us any money. No raise.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you,
Nate. Jack, do you have anything?
Nope.
The only other thing I have is we've been approached by a lady that is asking that she be named Poet Laureate for Steuben County. Each committee member, I sent you a packet explaining everything that I had found out so far. And I also checked, you know, Mr. Hanna asked me to check with Emily Sims to make sure she had researched and conducted. There's no position that's been discussed or published for Steuben County. So then we also received a letter of support from Pauline Emery from the Steuben County Library in support of her being appointed to that position. I think if anyone has any ideas or questions, I'd appreciate some thoughts on it. Other than that, pardon me? Well, I think that's one of the things we have to work through. But I think our first task is to decide whether we want the position in Steuben County or not, the Poet Laureate position. And then it would have to be approved by the full legislature.
So obviously, well, I mean, you could put some money against this if you want. Tompkins County has something similar, and it's not funded. It's just more of a designation that the legislature makes. So you wouldn't have to formally create a position or anything. You would just, you know, through a resolution, designate someone. My thought in talking with Carol is, you know, as she mentioned, the first step would be, are you interested? Would you like something like that? And if you do, then I'd suggest that you put out a solicitation or get applications. So it's not just, here you go. That way it's kind of an open process if that's what you decided to do.
I personally don't think that the county needs to spend any money on this. We've been getting away. We're running the county fine over the years without one. This is more of a, you know, to put a little fancy on Steuben County, I think, right? You know, kind of class it up a little bit, but I'm just not sure. It sounds like something that might be a little bit outdated to me personally.
Any other thoughts?
What did the historian say? How this applies historical?
She didn't go in that direction. She just said that she researched all the different areas and found where no one had pursued this in the past. Hilda?
But I agree with what Jack was saying, that we should put it out and ask for other, I mean, there might be a bunch of them out there if we're interested in doing this.
Yeah, I think our first step is to decide if we even want the position at the county, at our Steuben County.
So could I ask, do other counties have this position?
Yes, this whole referred to Tompkins. I'm sorry.
Great.
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear. Why now?
That's kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, Tompkins County is the only one that I'm aware of that has this position.
Yeah, it's mainly because you were approached by an individual who was interested in such a thing. So that comes to you saying, are you interested in having a poet laureate? And if you are, great. And we'll, you know, like Hilda was saying, I mean, suggest that you take applications, but nothing that says you need to or should. It's just your approach. So here's the presentation.
It's an honorary title given,
right?
You know, for a person to give poems for special events and things.
Yeah, the only playing devil's advocate a little bit, the only risk, frankly, that I see, because no cost, you know, it's an honorarium, it is what it is. You know, I think an application process would be good, because if you are officially designating someone as something, they're not speaking on behalf of the legislature, but they are connected with Steuben County. So,
right.
You know, that's the only area where I could see any landmines. Otherwise, it is, you know, like Paul said, could, you know, enhance literary poetry, whatever. But if someone's out there as an official designation and speaking on behalf of the county, that could be great, or sometimes it could be not so great. Who knows?
So should we call us to a vote to see if we are even interested in having it?
Well, I think we need a motion to proceed in a second if we so choose to go ahead.
So Paul is talking about not spending any money, but he's wearing socks that have dollars.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm confused.
My fashion is my fun. I didn't ask for yours.
I'm saying.
The county didn't buy those.
We could chip in and get him some new socks.
All right.
I'm
not hearing a motion.
Harassment.
That's all right.
Do we have a second to proceed?
Sensitivity training.
I'm not hearing one, so I'm saying that we will not proceed with the Poet Laureate program.
I remember that youth and government student from FAF, the young lady who was in the poetry. Remember she did her presentation?
Yeah.
She started off with a poem.
Right.
It was really cool.
Really good.
It was neat.
Okay. Anything else? Jackie, you're also?
Carol.
Kelly?
I just wanted to give a brief update. As some of you should be aware, we had a meeting with the Village of Bath mayor and the acting police officer in charge regarding some of the issues within the Village of Bath. I recently did a ride-along overnight with one of the village police officers to see the issue from their perspective. So they're concerned about the number of social services recipients that are placed in housing within the Village of Bath. I would like to continue to gather more information, which is what I've been doing, and then perhaps have a special type of committee meeting where we may invite the mayor or whatnot to address some of these issues. But in hearing some of the grant funding and some of the other services that are going to be coming through from some of our programs, I think that that might be able to lend a helping hand. I don't think that it's completely a rental issue or anything else. What I saw that night on my ride along was a lot of mental health problems and substantial amount of drug problems. And so I just wanted to keep anyone that's interested in being aware of what's going on updated on what I'm doing. And Kathy has given me a lot of great information. I'm going to meet again with the deputy or the officer that I did the ride along with and continue to gather information. Dr. Chapman was very helpful. We spoke on the phone about the ride along and to try to resolve the issue. The mayor is very adamant about some of the problems that are here within the Village of Bath. And I don't think I don't want them to feel that the county is neglecting that issue, but I think that we need to approach it from several different angles in order to solve the problem. So I just wanted to make sure, because I feel like it belongs in this committee, make sure I gave you an update on where we were at with that.
So Kelly, was your ride along for the entire village or just to
just in the village? It was one of the village police officers, so I got to just ride in his car with him while he was on duty.
But was there any interaction with the hotels or where we have people staying?
It was actually a relatively quiet night. We did go to one boarding house for a call. We didn't get any calls from the motels. We got to, we did pull over one traffic stop. So that was kind of cool. And a few other more mental health concerns and calls where realistically this officer did a lot of diffusing situations and trying to keep people calm. And so that made me think that, you know, they need to have more resources for some of this information. So one call we took two individuals actually out to Ira Davenport. One was an illness call and the ambulance service was 40 minutes away. And the other was a mental health concern. So, I mean, it's out there and I think that they deal with it every day and it was really important to see it from their perspective.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah, you got
carried.
It. You can do it.
carries.
Excuse